Well, good evening. I'd like to maybe try to conclude a series of messages this evening on what the Lord requires, requiring that which has been. The thing that the Lord had in the beginning with in creation of man, I believe that He wants that today with us. I wanted to graduate, and I wanted to gain as much understanding as I could while I was there. I know some have went to school and wanted to get by with as least as they could. And there were opportunities once you got past, especially your freshman and sophomore year, to take classes that weren't very challenging. Maybe classes that seemed like attendance was the most important thing, and you really... anyway, that was the school board who required that. I remember wanting to go to VOTEC. I wanted to go to vocational school that they had available. It wasn't there at our campus, but it was off-site. It was at another school district. And I really wanted to go and take, I don't know what they called it, automotive technology or auto tech, or I don't know what they called it, but that's, I wanted to do that. And it was offered in the morning. You get to school and you get on a bus and ride, go to VOTEC and get back, I don't know, lunchtime or a little after. And then the afternoon had the other classes that were required to graduate, whether it was another credit of English or what, I don't remember now what it was. And I remember those hard decisions that I had to make. I could have taken that, but I really wanted to take the more advanced math and science classes. I really enjoyed that, and I felt like they give me fundamentals that helped me, has helped me in life. And so I made that decision to stay at school because they were only offered in the morning too. They didn't, if they'd have had those in the afternoon, I could have had my VOTEC training and my math and science classes I wanted to take, but they didn't offer those. To where you could do both. So, I made that decision to not go to the vocational training. Instead, while I was in high school and doing all of that, I took a correspondence class. And I still got all those books at the house. I don't know, there was a lot of books, but I had to read a chapter and answer questions and mail them off. And so I'd done that for my automotive technology or whatever. And those are choices that we make. Requirements, you know, I had so many things going on at the time that I got kind of behind on my... It was self-paced, you know, that correspondence course was, and I kind of drug it out a lot longer than I should have. But anyway, I did complete it, and I'm grateful for that today. Maybe you all didn't know all that, but anyway, I guess use it for whatever ammunition it's worth. I'm thinking today as we... This evening, as we try to look at this last requirement that Micah mentions, And I feel like what we've tried to share in the last few services is an overview. It's don't take it as Brother Danny said, this is all you had to do. Well, let it be food for thought. Let it be something that would guide us and direct us and help us make the best decisions in our conduct, our behavior, the choices we make in life. I look back now and say, well, could I have made some different choices while I was in high school and had a different outcome? And maybe I could. Maybe I could have went to the vocational training and skipped the math and science and not really changed my life a whole lot. And maybe it would have. I don't know. Maybe it would have changed the course of my... What if I would have made... this is just hypothetical. What if I had got a job immediately out of school in our local area and become established and settled there and never moved to Oklahoma? What if I'd married somebody different than who I did? What if I chose not to stay true to the principles my parents had taught me? Be a lot different, wouldn't it? Be a lot different. All of us here in the room would be, we'd be different if we made different choices. The Lord wants to restore the thing that was in the past. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to cultivate that. And He wants us to recognize that there's requirements for us to have that close relationship. I look at myself and I say, Lord, there's some things I need to work on. There's some things I need to do better at. There's some areas I need to improve, because ultimately the relationship with God is what matters. It's what matters. When we come down to the time that our name is in the newspaper, it matters, and I want it to count. So I'd like to look in Micah 6 and 8. It says here, He has shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? We're talking about the requirements to meet the expectation that God has of that relationship He had in the beginning, that I believe Ecclesiastes 3 and 15 is referring to. He said, He shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And he ends with a question mark. It sounds like a statement, but he put a question mark. Why did he put a question mark? He wants us to ask ourselves the question, what is good? What doth the Lord require of thee? What is it? From this day forward, I'd like for us to constantly ask us ourselves the question, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of me in this situation on this day? He said, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. These are guides. These are principles. These are fundamentals. But you and I meet specific needs. Yesterday I met some specific needs. Decision points. Today I've met some more. Tomorrow I will meet some new ones, and you will too. So it says, he leaves it with a question. What am I going to ask myself tomorrow? What is good, and what doth the Lord require of me? We know the principle. And after tonight, we'll know maybe a little more, you'll know a little more of my thoughts about what it means to walk humbly with thy God. So let's look into that. I think of beginning a song that we have in our book, number 298. The title of the song is Humble Thyself to Walk. Humble thyself to walk. Well, that doesn't mean you're on your knees, I don't think. But humble yourself to walk. It says in the first verse, if thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by thy side from the morn till the even, all day long. Do we want the Lord to walk with us? I do. I believe you do too. I believe if you didn't want that, you wouldn't be here tonight. So we're going to make that assumption that we all want the Lord to walk with us from morn until the evening. He says there is a rule. There's a requirement. There's a rule we must follow. And the chorus says, humble thyself to walk with God. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again here. When I was a small boy, we used to go to Myrtle a lot, probably at least once a month, and my grandmother had married Brother Ossie Sorrell, and we would go there to visit. And three things that stood out to him, or to me, about him was, we started going over there when I was probably maybe about 3 years old, and we went a lot. If you figure 3 years from time I was a late teenager and do the math, and we went once a month, maybe 6 times a year minimum. That'd be once every other month. That's a lot of trips we made to Myrtle. Three things stood out to about Brother Ossie, Grandpa Sorrell is what I called him. One is he thought that Michael and I needed to learn Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He read that to us every time for family worship. Every time. I'm not kidding. Until we had it memorized and we could quote it back to him. And I really don't remember if we ever read anything else except him asking us to quote that verse. He made an impression on me. The other thing was he liked pine trees. And more than once I went with him because he had a box of seedling pines. And we went planting pine trees, little trees. And over the course of his retiring years, he planted many, many pine trees around the campgrounds and around his house. And there were various places that he would plant pine trees. And the last thing that stood out to me is he liked squirrels. I don't know why he liked squirrels, because squirrels would get in his barns and chew holes and things and do a lot of damage. But he had a lot of squirrels that lived in his yard, and he would try to make friends with them, and he would give them cracked pecans. Now, you probably, if you had cracked pecans, you probably wouldn't share them with the squirrels, but he did. And he started out by putting a few cracked pecans at the base of a tree, and he would go back in the house. And it progressed from that to him sitting on the front porch and watching them, to going out and putting them, the pecans, by the tree, and him standing by the tree until they come down to get the pecans. And he had some of them that he recognized and had called them by name. And I seen this happen. His house had probably 6 or 7 steps up to the front porch. It was up off of the ground. It seemed like it was 6 or 7. Maybe it wasn't that many. But he would sit on the front porch and have a cracked pecan in his hand, and the squirrel would come down the tree and come up on the porch and come up on the arm of his chair and take that little pecan out of his hand and sit there on the arm of that rocking chair and eat that pecan. Now, to get a squirrel, a wild-born squirrel, to come down out of the tree and come up there and eat that pecan on his rocking chair took a lot of time. It took a lot of patience. The squirrel was tame enough, if you call it that, that even me as a little boy and a stranger, I remember holding that pecan out and the squirrel coming down and taking the pecan and kind of tugging on it at the base of the tree. You want the Lord to walk with you? Here's a rule that you got to follow. Humble thyself to walk with the Lord. If you'll do that, it says, He will draw near thee. Humble thyself, and His presence shall cheer thee. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with the Lord. Just like learning how to do justly and learning how to love mercy, I believe it takes the grace of God to help us know how to humble ourselves to walk with the Lord. Because the scripture tells us every man's way is right in his own eyes. If you don't believe it, just ask somebody. We all are prone to saying, if they just listen, I could tell them what to do. If they just listen to me, this wouldn't happen. We have a right way in our own mind. The song says, humble thyself. You want the Lord to walk with you from the morn till the evening? You want to train some squirrels to eat out of your hand? You want to change some practices. A squirrel wouldn't give me the second look right now. In fact, this morning I went out to hook the water back up because it had been freezing, and there was a rabbit sitting under my little shed back there where my water tank is for my cows, and I looked over there and seen that there was a rabbit, and he was not moving a muscle. In fact, he was in the shadows, and he didn't think I could see him. And he sat perfectly still while I hooked up the water line and turned the water on. But I tell you, if I'd have rattled the gate and went to pet him, he would have been gone. Because although I've seen him now for about a year, running across in front of me and all of that, he is nowhere near ready to eat anything from my hand. It'd take a long time, maybe more than his lifetime, for him to get to the place he trusted me that much. I want the Lord to trust me. I want the Lord to walk with me. Because I want to hear His voice saying, this is the way I want you to walk. So I want to humble myself. I want to do justly. I want to learn how to love mercy. And I want to walk humbly with the Lord. So I'd like to turn back to Romans, the 12th chapter, and look at the third verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. It didn't say to cast yourself down. He didn't say to belittle yourself. He said, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means honestly weigh who you are and who God is. More highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us has been dealt or given an opportunity to have a faith, have a relationship with the Lord, to have an experience of salvation. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So what should we think of ourselves? One writer said he was miserable and undone. What's that? Miserable and undone. Another place tells us that if we've truly, let's go and read that, Romans 8 chapter. He said here, verse 15, 8 and 15 of Romans, he says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and I being adopted by God, the Creator. And he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, but we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. That means you're somebody. But Paul said, Romans 12 and 3, for us not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So what does it mean to walk humbly with God? No matter how many, how much paperwork there is, or how adopted we feel, and we should feel adopted, we should feel accepted by God. I'm still a human. And no matter how long I've been living right and doing justly and loving mercy, I'm still human. I can never achieve a place of being divine because I'm human. So I cannot allow myself to think of myself more highly than I ought to think. There's people that are, you might say, renowned. They may have abilities. They may have wealth and assets and all of that. And yet, you wouldn't know it by the way they acted. They act common. They act like maybe you and I would. And they come and interact with people. There's a man that I'm going to go so far to say he's a friend of mine. Not like maybe some of you, but I would say if I meet him in the street, he knows me by first name basis and I know him. And I would almost guarantee you without fail, if we see one another, he'll say, hello, Dan. How's the boys doing? And yet this man has been the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. We've talked about some things, you know, just kind of everyday things. There's a mutual level of respect. He's got talents that I don't even think I hardly know about to be a leader of a company like that. I believe most everyone in town respects the man. I've not met anybody that said, I don't like that guy. There may be some out there, I don't know. But he doesn't appear to think more high. I'm not trying to tell you that this person is everything God wants him to be. I don't know where he's at with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, he doesn't put on any airs. And there's other people that don't have near what he does, and they may try to make you and I feel like we're not good enough to say hi to him. He says here, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I'm a human. I was born that way, and I'm going to die a human. By the grace of God, I can be adopted a child of the King. By the grace of God, I can love mercy. By the grace of God, I can do justly. And with His help, in power, I'm going to be able to walk humbly with Him, knowing down in my heart that I'm a child of the King, and yet I'm human enough to realize that if it wasn't for God, I would be just like the worst individual that ever existed. I'd be miserable and I'd be undone. So Paul said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I'd like for us to turn to Proverbs, the 27th chapter, and notice what the writer here says, Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 1 and 2. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. We don't have any guarantees. He said, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. What does it mean to be humble, to walk humbly with thy God? Walk in a manner that someone else recognizes your attributes, and you don't have to tell anybody how famous you are. You know, anybody that's a child of the King would be tempted to use that, wouldn't they? I don't know if I'll ever ride up at the front of the airplane. I'm not talking about a co-pilot or a pilot, but up there in the chairs where you can recline. I wonder what they'd say if I said, I got on in the airplane and I said, do you know who I am? I'm a child of the King. I think you ought to let me sit in one of these seats up here. They'd probably take me off of the plane. They probably wouldn't let me stay. You know, the writer here says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. There's something about achievement, there's something about excelling in something that other people can recognize. And there's something about all of that that the enemy wants to come along and say, you're really somebody. And if they haven't noticed, you need to tell them. But the song said, you want the Lord to walk with you from the morn till the evening? Humble yourself to walk with the Lord. Let somebody else do the praising. Let someone else be the one that gives any level of esteem. Lord, help us. May not be anything that you struggle with, and then again, it might. Because sometimes we can feel like we need a little bit of recognition. I'd like for us to turn over here to the book of Philippians. And I'd like to begin reading chapter 2, maybe verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, The Apostle Paul, again writing, Church of Philippi. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That'd be a pretty good motto, wouldn't it? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. What happens when you have two people that both think they're the leader of the pack? Conflict, strife. What's vainglory? Well, I got 4 stars, or I've got 3 initials after my name, or whatever it is. Do you know who I am? Do you know who's talking to you? No, it doesn't work out very well like that. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. He didn't say get into argument about who went first. Somebody's got to be willing to go first. Somebody's got to be willing to take responsibility. And humility is not about shirking responsibility, okay? I want to be clear about that. Humility is about not thinking more highly than I ought to think. Not trying to play the cards, if you'll forgive me for using that expression, just right, so that somebody knows who we are and how they ought to respect us for who we are. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What is it about being humble that causes you to look after the others around you? You know, it's one thing to set your goal, your sights on an achievement and to plow through and achieve that. It's another thing to be conscious of what you're impacting when you're reaching that goal. Let me make that a little clearer. You can set your goal on reaching a finish line per se and trample all over others getting there. Cause a lot of heartache. Maybe cause personal injury, maybe cause emotional injury, and all of that, but maybe you got to your goal. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Remember, the rule, the requirement is, that we're talking about tonight, is to walk humbly with thy God. The Apostle Paul said, esteem the other better than yourself. He said, in a lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Don't just look out for your own, but think about what you're doing and how it impacts others. You remember the story I told you this morning about the woman in Burger King? Now, rush hour, you picture this, rush hour, Burger King. A lot of people in there, people in line, people sitting down at the tables eating, the cooks doing their thing, and people hollering out names and taking orders in the drive-in, and there's a lot of noise going on, a lot of people talking. You know what happened when that woman walked up to the counter and pounded her fist on the counter and said, "I want my burger now." The restaurant got quiet. I don't know if that's what she wanted or not, but the restaurant got quiet. How is it that the things that you do, how's it impacting others? Maybe somebody thought they were going to have to referee or something. I don't know. But it impacted everyone else. Lord, help us to think about that. It says in verse 4, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God..." How was he in the form of God? That Holy Spirit was with him, wasn't it? He had all power while he was here on this earth. I mean, he commanded Lazarus to come out of the grave. He healed blind eyes. He healed the withered hands. He walked on water. What else did he do? He done all of these marvelous things. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He knew that he had that power. He knew who he was. Right? There was no question in Jesus' mind of who he was. That's why when Pilate was questioning him just before he was crucified, Jesus said, "For this cause I came into the world." He knew who he was. He knew that he was God in the flesh. He says, verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation." You know, he could have went through adolescence and teenage and early adulthood by going around thumping on his chest, so to speak, and saying, "I'm the Son of God. Y'all need to listen to me." He could have done that. But if he had have, could he have said anything about being an example to us? He couldn't, could he? "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of men." I don't know what exactly he looked like, but I think that if he put his picture in a lineup, he would have looked pretty ordinary for the time he lived in. And I don't want to get all off on a tangent, but the world had been highly impacted by the Roman social system. And more than likely, he looked like someone that was in that society at that period. Maybe his complexion or his eye color would have given him away as being a Jew. Maybe because he knew Hebrew, he would have been given away as a Jew. But he looked like a common citizen. He said he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This was God in the flesh. You folks know who this was? You know who you're talking to? Sounds pretty hollow for us to say, "Well, I'm a child of the king. Let me sit in first class." Wouldn't go very far on an airplane. And it sure won't do us any good if we're wanting the Lord to go with us. It says, "Humble thyself to walk with God." One of the requirements to have that relationship with the Lord is to walk humbly with Him. Verse 8, it says, this talking about Jesus still, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You think Pilate really knew who was going to be crucified? He did after the fact. But he didn't right then. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. This is that other man praising you, isn't it? God, it said, also hath highly exalted him, or Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does it mean to walk humbly with the Lord? Does it mean you don't try to excel in life? To be the best in your trade? To learn how to, you know, it's just wishful thinking because I haven't cultivated, but to learn how to speak another language, to be able to share the gospel or be able to understand what others are saying, anything wrong with that? No. But don't go around bragging to everybody, I can speak four foreign languages. No. Let someone else tell that if it needs to be told. Use it. I know some people, personally, that the more I find out, the more I realize they have a gift of being able to adapt and learn other languages. I know somebody today that is able to communicate in four different languages. And he's never told me that. I just found that out by here, there, putting pieces of the puzzle together. And if he walked in here today and said hello, and he's not going to say, do you realize I can speak four languages? He's not going to do that. You know one of the reasons? I believe he wants to walk humbly with the Lord. Do you want to walk humbly with the Lord? Lord gives you a gift, use it. Let the Lord magnify that thing. If you need some praise, there'll be somebody that'll give you enough praise for what you need. He says here, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Your personal relationship with the Lord. Work it out with fear and trembling. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with thy God. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Let the Lord have an opportunity to use you. You might be young and you might be old, but let the Lord have an opportunity to use your skill set, your knowledge, your energy, your talents. Let the Lord do that. Let's walk humbly with the Lord. I don't feel like I'm speaking to people here that's necessarily just has a trouble being elevated, but I don't want you to go away thinking that to walk humbly with thy God means that you have to walk around with your head down all the time. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about not thinking about ourselves more highly than we ought to think. It's talking about allowing God to use the abilities he's blessed us with. It's talking about being accessible and available to the Lord. It's talking about us being willing to put ourselves in a place consistently where he wants to walk with us. You know, Grandpa Sorrel, as I called him, he didn't have a trap to catch squirrels in. He didn't have a pen to keep squirrels in. He didn't have a punishment system set up for teaching squirrels how to come up on the porch. Didn't have any of that. But he cultivated an atmosphere where squirrels would trust him. And they come all the way up on the porch, would sit on the arm of that chair and take a nut. I hope you believe me tonight because I saw it with my own eyes. This is not a story. He'd sit on the chair and use his little hands, it's fascinating, and chew that pecan up. He could eat the meat and spit out that other stuff faster than you or I ever could. But he'd sit there and eat that little pecan right there on the chair, and it was almost like he would wait. I was wondering if he'd get another one. You know, I want the Lord to walk with me, and I don't want to do anything that would cause him to depart from my life. If we had slammed the door or hollered or something like that, that little squirrel would have been gone just like that. And when we are not willing to be humble before the Lord, you know what happens to his presence? It leaves. It's not there anymore. And I don't want the presence to leave. I want his presence to be with me. I want his presence to be with us collectively. I want his presence to be in any assembly where God's people meet together. That's where the power is. We sing songs about sending the power down. We want the Lord to send the power down. How's it going to come? Our relationship with the Lord. How are we going to have that relationship? There's some requirements. We're going to have to do justly, love mercy, and we're going to have to walk humbly with the Lord. And we're going to have to remember, this is what the Lord really wanted in the beginning. This is what he wants to restore now. That's what he really requires. You want to get into heaven? This is what he wants. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. I trust the Lord will take the thoughts, embellish them, and use them to help us all be more successful in our walk with him. You pray for me.